You meet God's Adam for you. You meet God's Adam for you. You meet God's Boaz for you. Watch this. When you meet Adam and Boaz, I'm coming, Mary sisters, give me a few minutes. When you meet Adam and Boaz, how do you help them? You help them by hurting them. Because men think that when we can't go to bed, it's going to hurt so bad. But slap a sister, say, I'm just going to have to hurt him, I guess. I'm going to have to hurt him. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just buy me another skirt. That's all. You'll be all right. Amen, amen, amen. Are you helping, brothers? Or hurting them? Because you're such a wonderful woman. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. You are a wonderful woman. You are a giver. You are a lover. See, I'm about to mess you up. The next time the devil tells you there's something wrong with you, let me tell you what's wrong with you. You're such a giver, and God made you, not the devil. God made you sexual. God made you a helpmeet. So you're designed. It's innate from birth that your desire as a woman is to share yourself with a kingdom man and to give him love and sex and honor, and you want to love him and touch him and be there for him. The problem is when you give that to your un-Adam.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Prayers that were prayed, scriptures that were read, songs that were sung, and instruments that were played. Now as we stand now, speak to me and speak through me that your word will go forth, that we will leave feeling better than when we came because we heard a word from you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. Forget protocol. Open up your Bible. Two passages of scripture. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. And Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 28. Romans 11, 33 through 36 says, "Oh, the depths of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who have known the mind of the Lord, who have been his counselor, or who have first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, though through him and to him are all things, to him to whom be glory forever. Amen." Isaiah 40 and 28, I'm going to read the New International Version. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." I want to talk on God is awesome. How many believe God is just Awesome. Thank you, urchins. What do we mean when we say God is awesome? I believe the word awesome carries within itself a certain feeling of wonder, a certain feeling of amazement, a certain feeling of mystery. The word awesome itself presents a feeling beyond the ordinary. The word awesome means beyond our normal comprehension. And with our limited minds, we cannot fathom the heights or depths that the word awesome conjures up. The word awesome is so powerful, but there is no other word to define it. Such a word as awesome should only be reserved for God. God is above all, therefore he is awesome as we believe him to be, and nothing or no one else comes close to God. And when we reserve the word awesome to God, it is describing the power he possesses. And when we say awesome, we are saying that can't no one do us the way God can do us. When we hear the word awesome, something will arise up inside of you and make you want to run when you hear the word awesome, because it should remind you of how good God has been to you. Each time we hear the word awesome, it should remind us of the power of God. No human can come close to the awesomeness of God, because those who you think can come close will let you down. You might call them and they won't answer the phone. You might text them and it may be hours until they text you back. But one thing about God, he hears us when we cry. I wish I had somebody to testify. You see, a lot of us praise God when he answers the prayer. I praise God because he heard the prayer. He can answer on his own time, but just the idea, he heard me. I wonder if I can get somebody just for a second just to praise God because he heard you. You haven't received what you asked for yet, but just the idea he heard is enough for me to raise my hands in the sanctuary and still say, watch this, even though I don't have what I've asked for, but he heard me and I can still say God is awesome. People in the world have different ways of expressing themselves of wonder and amazement. They have different ways of expressing awe, because some people will say, that's fantastic. I heard others say, like Oprah Winfrey, she would say, that's amazing. Teenagers, when I was a teenager, would say, man, that's cool. Some people would say, on the other culture, gee whiz, gosh, and wow. Goma Powell would say, golly. They had different ways of expressing their amazement. But I know God is awesome. No one have to tell me that he's awesome. I know for myself. How you know, preacher? A God who can speak a world into existence is awesome. A God that can make a world out of a formless void is awesome. A God who can allow three boys to go through a fiery furnace, come out not burned and not even smelling like smoke is awesome. A God who can allow a Daniel to go into a den of lions and spend a night with ferocious, hungry lions and wake up uneaten is awesome. a God who can split a Red Sea and make the Israelites walk kicking up dust at the bottom of the Red Sea is awesome. That ain't good enough for you? A God who can stand at the grave of a man that's been dead for 4 days and still call his name and he comes forth is awesome. The way I haven't hit your streets yet. A God who woke you up this morning, he's awesome. A God who carried you through a pandemic is awesome. Many of us in here had COVID-19, but we still alive. Now, I wonder, can somebody say, he's awesome? He's awesome. He's awesome in his essence. He's awesome in his sovereignty, in his omnipotent, omniscience, omnipresence. His infinite, he's eternal, he's immortal. He is awesome. He is one true God. He has no beginning and no end. He created all things, and all things exist by his divine power. God is awesome. He has no parents, he has no peers, he has no siblings, but he's still awesome. And who can give God advice? How can you give God advice when you can't fully understand God yourself? God is awesome. Let me hurry through, because you were very patient to hear Dr. Odham, and I was so proud of you, Mount Zion. You sit there patient as she gave out the advice you needed. And let me pause here and tell you, if you haven't been vaccinated yet, if that won't convince you, then I don't know what will. Let me look at God being awesome. Number one, he's awesome because he knows everything there is to know. In verse 33a, he said, oh, the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge is of God. God is deeper than our minds can fathom. Not only is wisdom and knowledge deeper than we know, but it is also deeper than we can ever imagine. We have no mental category to describe the depths of God's character. Trying to understand God is like trying to empty an ocean with a bucket. The more you pull out of the ocean, the more ocean you have to deal with. In other words, you're wasting your time. When you're thinking that you can understand the mind of God, it makes no difference how smart you are, how intelligent you are. The reason why, with all your brains and intelligence, you still can't tap into the mind of God, because he's the one that gave that to you. And he didn't give you enough to understand him. Our text suggests that before us, that everything that we could know, anything that our mind can hold, God is saying, well, I'm going to give you just enough for you to be saved. If you just accept my son that I gave you to die on the cross and quit trying to figure me out, just believe in what I gave you. Accept my son and you shall be saved. God knows everything that has been, everything that is, and everything that will be. He even knows everything that could have happened, could be, and could ever be. Not only does he know it, but he has known it from the beginning of time. In other words, what you and I are experiencing now, God saw it before you were born. God saw COVID-19 while there were still cavemen on the earth. Oh, y'all ain't got quiet on me. You see, COVID-19 caught us by surprise. It didn't catch God by surprise. And see, let me help Sister Dr. Odham from a spiritual level. I'm not a doctor. She helped you from the physical level. Let me help you from a spiritual level. Now, many people say, I won't take the vaccination because I'm trusting God. Well, how far does your trust go? Because if you're saying you trust God and his very essence, then I trust God enough that he has created men and women and put in the minds of men and women to come up with medicine to heal anything that transpires in this body. There is an opioid epidemic. People getting hooked on pain pills. Now, that means they are taking more than that is required. And the body is beginning to crave it because how it makes the body feels. Now, you're willing to take opioids and you don't know what's in it, but you keep on taking it. But now when it comes to a vaccine, you got to know what's in it. When the last time you went about Tylenol and read the back of it and just to see what was in it? The last time you drunk E&J, you didn't read to see how it was made. The last time you had your Crown and Coke, you didn't see how it was made. Oh, I didn't hit you home. Now I didn't. The last time you was at the casino and hit them buttons and hope the three, you didn't know who touched it before you. Let me get back to God is awesome because I done lost. Getting tired, Sister One, the people walking around and you ask them how you doing. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Y'all quit telling that lie. Guess what? I'm blessed and I'm still stressed. Quit going around, I'm too blessed to be stressed. You quit lying, you stressed. But at the same time, I'm still blessed. You have heartache and pains that stress you out, but I'm blessed because he's constantly healing my body. I wish I had somebody to testify and say I'm stressed, but I'm still blessed. One thing about God being awesome, he goes ahead of you, clearing the way, arranging the details of your life, that when you arrive from where he's already been, everything will be all right. You can have confidence in God that he has already been there before you get there. Let me help you out. When you have to go to the hospital, or when you're going on a job interview, you got to have enough confidence in the awesomeness of God that he have already been there before you got there. Now watch this. If you get there and it doesn't work out for you, then that's not where God showed up for you. If you find out where God showed up for you and you arrive at the place where he showed up for you, then everything will work out. So don't get mad when doors get slammed in your face. Don't get mad and say, God is not answering my prayer. He's got your prayer answered. You just walking in the wrong direction. God is at work in the future while we are in the present. He knows everything there is to know. Then secondly, he knows why everything happens. 33b says, how unsearchable his judgments and his path is beyond finding out. God, watch this, leaves no footprints behind him. You cannot tell where God's been and where God's going. He leaves no track or trail that you can follow. That means that life, many things will happen that we will not understand. Sickness, accidents, violent crimes, sudden financial collapse, divorce, crumbled dreams, cancer, tornadoes, hurricane, earthquake, floods, famine, war, broken promises, evil triumphing over good, loss of job, ruined lives, dying children, and things that you've been wishing for never come to pass. But yet, God knows why it happened. We are asking ourselves, God, why are these things happening? But then God turned around and asked you, why are you asking me that? Because if you study my word, I said in this life, you're going to have hard trials and tribulations, but be of a good cheer. We have overcome the world. When you come to Christ, he didn't give you no exemption form to say you exempt from trials, you exempt from sickness, you exempt from trouble. But one thing he did give you, when it do come, when it does come, I'll be right there with you. How many can testify I'm not exempt, but I have the power right there with me. I have an awesome God. Look what he says. Watch this. Watch what he says in the text. In verse 34, watch this. For who have known the mind of the Lord? Who have been his counselor? How can you counsel God? How can you take God in counsel and try to counsel God? There's one man I know tried it, and he failed in his trial. Job got to the point that he wanted to take God into question. As I paraphrase, now, what's going on with us? Why are you doing this to me? Now, I've always been upright, sure of evil. I did that which was right before you, took care of my family, did everything, and look what you're doing to me. God said, hold up, dog. Where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world, Job? Where were you when I stood out on nothing because there was nothing for me to stand on? Where were you, Job, when I reached out to grab nothing when there was nothing for me to reach out and grab? Where were you, Job, when I hung nothing on nothing because there was nothing for me to hang it on and I told it to stay there until I tell you to move? Where were you? How can you take God into counsel? No one can accuse God of being unfair. Let me tell you something. You don't want God to be fair with you. Because if you want God to be fair, when sin is finished, death comes. So every time you sin, God can just let death have his way with you. That's God being fair. God, I don't want you to be fair. I want you to be merciful. Lord, I want you to look beyond my faults. Well, let me correct that. No, let's quit saying that. That he looked beyond your fault. God saw everything you did. Quit trying to give God blindness. He looked beyond. No, he saw everything you did. He just forgave you of your sin. In other words, when he said he looked at me when I was sneaking and creeping, but he still blessed me. He still made a way for me. He still forgave me. He still blessed me. Let me keep saying, the record is broken. He still blessed me. He still forgave me. Don't change the needle. He still blessed me. He still, I ain't hit your streets yet. He still forgave me. Nobody can say I've earned the favor of God, because we were all on our way to hell. Lest I hold you too long. Third and finally, he knows what he has done will turn around and glory will be returned to him. Y'all missed it. Look at verse 36. For in him and through him, to him all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. He knows for what he's done, he will get the glory in return. You want to know why a lot of us are not being blessed? Because God know the motive behind your asking. Some of us ask for things because we want people to see what we got. But God said, when I bless you, I want you to be able to give me glory in return. And why do you put a statute of limitations on glory with God? God, if you bless me, I'll praise you for the rest of my life. God, if you give me this, I'll glorify. Why can't you do it before he give it to you? Why can't you praise him before he bless you? How many are going to say, I don't need nothing just to praise God? I just want to lift up my hands in the sanctuary because he being God and God alone is enough for me to praise him. The text says, from him, he's the source of all things. Through him, he's the sustainer of all things. And to him are all things. He's the supreme purpose of all things. To him be glory forever and ever and ever. You want to know why some people don't really give God glory? Because they want it. Go ahead, I'm going to let the gumbo symbol. Some of us don't give God glory because, watch, true praise draws the attention off you and put it all on him. You know, I'm glad the way we do the offering now. One thing the pandemic has done, it has put us back in true perspective in worship. I'm glad we don't really march around the table anymore, because some of us used to walk slow on purpose that people can see. I didn't look at you. Now, some of y'all don't even dress the same since we put the money at the back door now. Some of you don't care how you walk in here. Before then, you used to come in here, oh, Lord, spit and polish. And if you ain't laughing, you might be the one we're talking about. To him be glory. In life and death, to him be glory. In joy and sorrow, to him be glory. Good days and dark days, to him be glory. Sickness and in health, to him be glory. In career or in the home, to him be the glory. In prosperity or poverty, him be the glory. In the days of peace and in the time of trouble, to him be all the glory. In the gentle breeze or the gathering storm, to him be the glory. In the classroom or the boardroom, to him be glory. In moments of victory, in moments of defeat, to him be glory. Prayers answered, prayers unanswered, to him be glory. Yesterday's tears and today's rejoicing, to him be glory. Let me go on. God woke us up this morning because God made the morning for us to behold. We can see the sunlight because God made the sun to shine. We can feel the wind blowing because God makes the wind to blow. We can hear the birds singing because God wrote the song that they sing. My Lord, God sacrificed Jesus for us. He died on an old rugged cross. But not only did he sacrifice him, but 3 days later, he resurrected him for you and for me. God, he's the giver of grace. God has shown mercy to all of us. God, he has no end. God, he has no beginning. And the word says, to him be glory forever. And I don't know about you, but he deserves my glory. Sister Tate, if you don't mind, I want to use your song. My God is awesome. He can move.